breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Back again with another episode of the FTN NBA podcast. We are only a few weeks away from the start of the regular season. NBA Media Day is underway, so it's only right to bring the podcast back. No stream today. We are not talking best ball, but we will be talking all 30 teams in the NBA and their projected win totals that currently sit on DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host, Joe Metz, joined by my co-host, Zach Graham. Adam unable to join us today, but we are back with two of FTN's finest, Stefano Vaccarino, who is kind of, he's the guy that sleeps on our couch. He's on the podcast all the time, doesn't get the credit. Stefano, how you doing?
I'm good. The real estate market's really like it's tough to find a place to stay. So I appreciate you letting me couch surf over there. But I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, of course. And we are also joined by a first-time guest. Absolutely ecstatic to have him on the team for the NBA season. One of the sharpest minds I've ever seen in the industry, Alex Blickle, big golf guy, just destroyed the Ryder Cup. How you doing?
Good, good. I got to say, the NBA season pretty much snuck up on me here, but. Can't wait to get started.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, you know, like we're what, week three, week four of the NFL, and once NBA starts, I don't know when any of us are going to sleep at this point. But I mean, here we are. Basketball at the end of the day is my favorite sport to talk about. Zach, how are you doing? I know you're the co-host, so I'm not going to gloss over you like that, though.
Yeah, man. I'm honestly a little frustrated that we're not streaming tonight because last week we went jerseys, no undershirt. And Steph kind of rug pulled us and had sleeves on last week, and now we're not streaming, and he's got the tank, no undershirt. So, yeah, well, man. I
want to know why. Stefano doesn't have a Nets jersey because he's not an actual fan.
Here we go. There's a big we're starting this early.
I'm going to have to send him a Patty Mills jersey then.
Ooh,
perfect.
That's actually but, cool. Hey, man. Speaking of the Nets, I know they practiced today. I think they're out in California or something like that.
Yep,
I don't know how can, you know, I guess we were going to talk about this later, but I'll just bring it up now. How is Kyrie able to practice in California and not in New York? I don't know what's up with that, but obviously Media Day was a frenzy. And
so I have a theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory. Sorry, Zach, but I actually think Kyrie is vaccinated and said he was not vaccinated to avoid Media Day in New York so he didn't have to speak to the media.
That is, yeah, I mean, if there's anyone that's in a galaxy brain that, it's Kyrie. But to refute that, I can't remember who the source was. Apparently, Kevin Durant has been in Kyrie's ear about getting vaccinated.
He's definitely not vaccinated. But
no. Definitely. Absolutely no way. Well, obviously, that being the hot button topic of Media Day, we're not going to take like a whole segment on it, but if we're going team by team, if there is a hot button issue, we want to address it because that will factor into, like I said, we're talking about win totals and that'll factor in. But before we get in, the biggest news of the day in the NBA world is that FTN just released their early bird pricing for the DFS package. Currently, it's priced at $199.99 for the first 50 buyers. There is a very good chance that by the time you are listening to this, that offer will not be applicable anymore because of how fast they're selling. But Stefano, you have your hands dipped the most in the NBA content and tools more than any of us being involved. So why don't you just give us like a 30-second elevator pitch on why FTN Daily's NBA DFS package is going to be the best in the industry?
Sure. So besides for tailing you three sharp minds in NBA all season, we have a ton of great tools, right? So that price includes an NBA optimizer. It includes ownership and player projections. It includes a pace tool. I'll let Alex talk about that kind of as we get on to the get the podcast going, I should say. We have advanced DVP. We've got NBA splits. We've also got a ton of free tools that you can just kind of check out on ftndaily.com, which is like kind of basic player stats, rosters, injury reports, all that fun stuff. We have two streams daily. We have a very fun, you know, Discord chat. I think we can all agree that that's kind of the highlight, in my opinion, of the NBA product, where we kind of make a bunch of memes. It's a really awesome community. And the price is just like ultra discounted right now. So $199.99 is about $100 off from the final price. And monthly pricing will be around $59.99. Again, that includes an optimizer. The next price after $199.99 will be $224.99, then $249.99, then $279.99. Each one will have available for 100 people each. So you want to get in there as early as possible. before that price gets up. Because again, like right now it's about like $25 a month through the NBA finals for about as much NBA DFS content as one person can handle. And you'll legitimately become a better NBA DFS player. And you know, I save the last for the best, right? We're getting Fast Eddie Fear back. You know, he's coming back. We're gonna get Fast Eddie's rankings. He's gonna be on shows. He's gonna be hanging out on Discord. So we've got a great team. It's a hell of a product, and I hope you guys come join us.
Yeah, I don't know. The memes alone are worth the subscription, but everything else is just a cherry on top.
Use so like promo said, code Beans, by the way.
Correct. Yes, mm-hmm. Promo code Beans gets you a nice discount off the package. Like I said at the top of the podcast, we're gonna go through team by team, discuss their win totals that are currently posted on DraftKings Sportsbook. Other books have odds. We're just kind of keeping one centralized book to keep things consistent. If you guys find value elsewhere, I obviously encourage you to take it. We'll go team by team. We're going to spend more time on teams where some of us may feel differently about them. And we'll just kind of go quickly through the teams where there is a unanimous opinion. So starting alphabetically, Atlanta Hawks, 46.5 wins. We all have the over. So again, like I said, we'll go quick with the ones where we are all in agreement. But Zach, what do you think is the biggest like driver for the over with the Hawks this season?
Well, I think the thing to know about the win totals this year, obviously we've touched on it on podcasts over the last kind of month and a half, but 72 games last year in the kind of COVID shortened season, back to the normal 82 this year. And so that can kind of inform some of your decisions on these win totals. And with those 10 more games, Hawks were 41-31 last year. So even if they went 5-5 in their extra 10 games, that would get them to 46. So you would get beat by the hook. But to me, it's an over because this team is full of young guys. Obviously, they have a couple veterans, Danilo Gallinari, Clint Capella, guys like that. But they were beat up last year. Trey missed some time. Obviously, DeAndre Hunter missed some time. Cam Reddish missed some time. So all these guys, to me, are going to take another step forward in terms of their NBA success. And I just see this team getting not too far over that number, but certainly beating 46.5.
I like it. Alex, Steph, do you guys have anything to add?
No, he pretty much said it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Trae Young is on the path to superstardom if he's not already there. And that team's just going to keep getting better.
There. I think Trae Young is a superstar. He's there.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, Joe, I think we talked about that on the last best ball stream. Like Steph made his case.
Yep.
So, again, this is why you got to be tuning into these streams we're doing every week because we're hitting on a lot of these things.
Yeah, agreed. So moving on to the second team, Boston Celtics, price the same, 46.5 wins. Myself and Zach took the under. Alex and Stefano took the over. So I'll let you guys discuss your rationale for the over, then I'll get into the under. So Alex, what is it that attracts you about the Celtics and their line right now?
Well, it's annoying for me because I can't stand the Celtics, but I'll tell you what, I think Al Horford is just such a great addition to this team. We know how good he was in Boston, and he was really effective last year in Oklahoma City, as sort of easy as it was to overlook that. And so I just think this is a more complete roster. You know, they had a ton of injuries last year. Hopefully for their sake, they'll be healthier this year. And Schroeder also adds just that extra little bit of playmaking that sometimes they missed, especially if they do see some injuries. So it's just it's a complete lineup. And I think for regular season totals, that's sort of what you have to look for. You know, you can't always rely on one or two guys in the regular season for high win totals.
Yeah, I like that. Steph, anything to add?
I mean, I completely agree. I think they're a better team than they were last year. I think they're deeper. I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, are like similar to what I said about Trae Young, especially with Jason Tatum, he's on that path to being a superstar. And I think both those players, him and Jaylen Brown, are going to continue to get better. There's going to be a couple of teams in the East that are going to regress. I don't think the Celtics are one of them, but I do think they will be a popular pick. Lastly, this is not a line I would bet on, though. I think 46.5 is a totally fair line. But if I had to pick, I would pick over.
Yeah, agreed. I'm on the under. Similar to what you said, Steph, this is not a line that I would feel comfortable betting. I think if it goes under, I think it's going to like skate by very, very closely. My rationale is I'm pretty heavy on the win total over for a large majority of these other Eastern Conference teams, and it has to come at the expense of some of the other Interconference teams, the Celtics being one of them. So I actually think the Celtics, I'm projecting them to finish as a play-in team at the 7 or 8 seed, because I see, you know, improving from the Hawks, the Bulls, the Knicks, and some other teams down there, potentially the Hornets. So, Zach, anything to add to the under?
No, so I guess the only place I would push back is I don't think this team is super deep. You know, you're looking at a second unit of Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith, two young guys who I like both of them in terms of their future outlook, but I just don't know if they're going to get it done in an Eastern Conference that is more competitive. I think all three of us have agreed on that before. And like the signing of Josh Richardson, I don't know what happened to that guy, and I don't think he's just going to come turn it around in Boston. I hope they do well, because, you know, my guy Ime Udoka took over as the coach. But I think I'm more on the side of you guys agreeing that, like, it's just not a line I would touch.
Yeah, it just feels like it could really realistically go either way, and I don't like that. Moving on to the next team, unanimous, and I don't think anyone was even thinking about the under here. Brooklyn Nets at 56.5. To me, this feels like a complete misprice. I don't think books are comfortable pricing teams at like a 60.5 win, because 60 wins is a lot in the regular season. But I mean, shit, if, excuse my language, but like if two of these guys get hurt for a third of the season, they can still smash this over. Like, they have three future Hall of Famers on this team. Steph is grinning from ear to ear because I'm gassing up the Nets right now, but like, this is just too low. I don't know. Steph, chime in here.
I mean, so if, let's say Kyrie only like doesn't get vaccinated and doesn't play a single home game, this is still too low.
Way too low.
Like, I actually think this line should be like 62.5. They're loaded. Like, they're really, really good. The addition of Patty Mills is not like a nothing addition. Like, that made them legitimately a better team. And let's say like Kyrie can't play home games. Like, Patty Mills is like a serviceable dude who fits exactly with what James Harden and Kevin Durant want to do on the court. So I have no concerns about this 56.5. Funny story, Caesars had it at 54.5. I bet it. And then Josh Gross bet it, and then it goes up to 56.5 because Josh Gross bet it. So I don't carry the weight that Josh Gross has. I put two units at 54.5. I probably should have put like 500 units
I have two units at 56.5.
I would bet the over if it was 60.5. I think they're gonna win like 64 to 65 games.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any disagreement there. Looking at the Hornets as the next team, 38.5. Three of us are on the over, myself, Alex, and Zach. Stephanie, you're the only one on the under. So, Alex, explain your rationale for the over, because this just feels a couple wins too low for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think it's another team that just is definitely on the up and up. And part of this over call for me is just that I think LaMelo takes a big step forward. He's just such a solid all-around player. And I think his game and Rozier's games, they sort of complement each other really well, and that both can be playmakers, and both, like, I guess you can call them both streaky shooters. And so on any given night, one can play the facilitator, one can play the scorer, can kind of go back and forth. And you also have Hayward. And so they just have so many pieces that kind of fit together. It's a young, energetic team, and in an 82 game season, a grueling NBA season, that young energy can really be helpful in terms of bringing it every night.
Yeah, I agree. I think the addition of Kelly Oubre too, I'm not, you know, not super high on him individually, but when you look at a wing like that, like the injury issues they've had with Gordon Hayward, they just provide some more insurance there, which will help them in the regular season. Steph, what's your rationale for the under? Because I know you're in the, you know, as Zach alluded to, one of the hot topics we talked about on the last stream was just the massive range of outcomes for LaMelo Ball. Does you being on the under here imply that you are a little more bearish on him than we are?
No, absolutely not. I actually agree with everything Alex said. I just don't think they're ready yet, and I think the East is a lot better. And that's literally it. I think they're maybe a year or two away from kind of being like a 44, 45, 46 win team. I just don't think it's this year. Like you said, like if I'm over on the Celtics, there's only a couple teams I can also be over on, right? And the Hornets are one of the – I can't be over on them. They're the odd team out. I wouldn't bet – this line, I wouldn't bet under 38.5. But again, gun to my head, if I'm making a pick, I think they win like 36, 37 games. I feel more confident that they win under 40 games than over 40 games. And I get the line is 38.5, but there's a lot, I just feel more comfortable that they'd be under 38.5. I don't love like they almost like too crowded at the wing, honestly. And I think that could actually have a negative effect, even in like a, you know, we're back to a traditional NBA season. So maybe like, you know, having more depth may seem like a good thing, but like, even if you have like a lot of like average players, that doesn't like excite me. Like the Bulls are better and we're going to get to the Bulls next.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I don't, like the East is better. I just don't think the Hornets are ready. I think LaMelo Ball is going to be one of the best players in the NBA. As the years go on, I just don't think it's going to be year two. So that's it.
Yeah, that's fair. So you mentioned the Bulls. We are all on the over 42 and a half wins as the next team. This is one that it feels like, I'm not going to say they're going to smash and win 50 games. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I think the combination of experience that they brought in, as well as what they already have on the roster, I think it's an easy over. Zach, I know you and I were pretty high on this when we first previewed the win totals. What do you like about the Bulls this year, besides just their offseason acquisitions, I guess?
Yeah, man, I think that's the biggest thing for me is We saw, obviously, the Vucevic trade last year that kind of everybody was like, oh, the Bulls are back. They're going to make the playoffs now, and none of it came together for them. I think, you know, we've touched on, obviously, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso. We've even talked a lot about Kobe White and how he's going to fit into this all of a sudden very crowded backcourt. I also don't think, out of all the teams that we're all four in agreement on, like this team, this is maybe one that I wouldn't bet either, because I just have this feeling that it could just crash and burn. Like, starting with Patrick Williams, high ankle sprain earlier this week. He's out for probably 6 weeks since it happened so earlier in the season. And you look kind of the guys they have behind these starters. We talked about the guards, but Troy Brown Jr., Derek Jones Jr., Tony Bradley, Alize Johnson, like none of these guys have done much of anything.
It ends very quickly.
And I'm still a little questionable on how those pieces in the starting five are going to fit. So again, I do think they get slightly over 500 and hit the over here. But again, I would not be surprised to see this not turn out how we think.
Yeah, that's fair. Flipping the script, another Eastern Conference team. We're all on the under here for Cleveland at 27 and a half wins. Alex, I'll kick it to you. Cleveland, it looks like, you know, they grab Lauri Markkanen, draft Evan Mobley. I don't know what they're doing with their front court right now. But do you see this being a team that's actually going to try and get into the play-in? Or, like, their win total is super low, and I'm still on the under. So talk to me about the Cavs.
Well, the first thing I'd say is I think there's a decent chance they become sellers, and that might be why they're okay with being overcrowded in the front court, just because they kind of expect to at least sell a couple pieces. So if you have too many, then chances are someone's going to maybe reach for one of those pieces. Another thing I'd say, and this isn't even necessarily about the Cavs, but I feel like maybe one of the reasons why we all went under here is because we've been talking about, like, we like a lot of these Eastern Conference teams and we can't go over on everybody. One point is I just added all these up and the average Eastern Conference line is about 37 wins. So there actually is room for all of them to go, or not all of them, but a bunch of them to go over basically on the expectation that they do better relative to the Western Conference than sportsbook expectations.
That's a lot lower than I expected. That's interesting. Regardless, Cavs are still one I'm pretty heavy on the under.
Can I make this easy? They suck.
I mean, okay, so like they have some individual pieces. I'm very high on Evan Mobley, like very high on him. If they utilize him correctly,
he's their starting small forward, and he's a seven.
Correct, apparently. I do still think, in terms of them selling, like, Colin Sexton was a hot name this offseason. You can't 100% rule out him getting traded at some point in the season. So that could obviously contribute to the under two, given his offensive production. We have the next team, Dallas Mavericks, 48.5. This is one that myself, Alex, and Zach are all in the under. Stefano, I'm going to be surprised. I'm kind of surprised you're on the over. I thought this was pretty high. I don't think the Mavericks are as good as people think they are. I think Luka is. I don't think Kristaps has what it takes to be the number two that they need him to be. I don't think he wants to be the number two that they need him to be. The report came out, you know, before we hopped on that Jason Kidd, which pray for them with Jason Kidd as their head coach, is going to have Porzingis play more of the four. I assume see more of Moses Brown, potentially Boban at the five. I just think with the West being healthy now, I think they're too good. Like, the West is too good for them to win 49 games. What do you? Why do you disagree?
I mean, they might have the best player in the NBA. I'm not saying Luka's the best player in the NBA, but he has that ceiling. I think that
not,
I think
48.5 is healthy, but yeah,
I think 48.5 is actually disrespectful to Luka. I mean, like, I don't think the Clippers are as good, right? I don't think the Suns are going to be as good as they were last year. I think the Dallas Mavericks are a totally fine team. That, I mean, I wouldn't bet this line at 48.5, but like internally, I project them for like 51, 52 wins, around that mark, 50 wins. Like, Luka's incredible.
He's amazing. Yeah. I'm not.
And like that really matters in the NBA. Like, it does. Having just like that one player who's like amazing.
I agree.
And then I don't think Kristaps is as bad as people think he is. I think like Kristaps is, I think, listen, it's a bad contract. I think he's a negative asset where if they're going to trade that contract, they have to give a piece to trade that contract. But like, injuries aside, when he's actually on the court, I especially during the regular season, I don't think Kristaps is as bad as people think he is. I think he's like totally fine. So like I don't mind this team all that much. I think Luka is just, it's really about Luka. That's why I'm over. Now I think I'm buying as much Luka stock as I can buy. I think he is last year he was the favorite to win MVP. I think he's a good bet to win MVP this year as well.
He's the favorite again.
He's the favorite.
Is he already? I haven't checked. I'm surprised. Okay.
So moving on to the next team, Denver Nuggets, similarly priced 47.5 wins, but
can I just hop in? Sorry, Joe. If he's the favorite to an MVP, this line is actually too low, in my opinion.
That makes sense. I still take the under. I don't think he's going to win MVP. But if he does put together like the MVP season, he's going to they're going to hit the over. But it's not. This is the line I'm not betting on.
Joe, who do you have winning the MVP?
I mean, transparently, Kevin Durant.
Okay.
If he can stay healthy. My favorite price.
Tell me who you really have winning the MVP.
No, it's the politics. The NBA won't let Giannis win a third in 4 years. They won't do it. But if you're looking for an NBA bet right now, getting James Harden at 20-1, anytime you can get James Harden at that price is ridiculous. He's -120 to lead the league in assists per game. That alone. You know he's going to add 25, 30 points a game. Like those right there are MVP numbers, and they're going to win 60 games. So I think 20-1 is a ridiculous bet. So there's a free bet for the day. That's enough Nets love out of me. Denver Nuggets, 47.5 wins. Juice is on the under. Even money for the over on 47.5, and we are all on the over. Alex, is this just too low of a line?
Yeah, way too low. I mean, this was a team that – I mean, it was basically Jokic for most of the year. And Murray for some of it as well, but
yep.
They've got Aaron Gordon now. Will Barton should be back and healthy. It's just the team is so good, especially when Jokic is playing. This line might be the most disrespectful in my opinion of all.
Yeah, this is the third year of Michael Porter Jr. They just gave him a massive contract. He's not. I don't think we're going to see many of those games where he plays 26, 27 minutes anymore. After they paid him that much money, he's going to be on the court. And Jamal Murray, what is it, December, January, he'll be back with enough time to make a huge impact. So I completely, completely agree.
Is this the deepest team in the West? I mean, look at the second unit. Faku, Austin Rivers, PJ Dozier, Jamichael Green, Jeff Green. Then you've also Monty got, Morris. Marcus Howard, who had some moments last year, like that dude can score. They got the Bones Highland is there too. I mean, I think he'll probably spend a lot of time in the G League, but holy cow, they have a lot of
players who, 10 plus players who will impact the game, which is, in the regular season, as we talked about, that matters so much more than
the playoffs. And Jamal Murray's coming back at the end.
Yeah. Zach, of course, you list Faku as number one off the bench.
I was just going positionally. That's it.
This line is disrespectful. Sorry, all I wanted to say.
This is what I'm adding to that slip. Especially with the value on the over, it just makes no sense. So the next one, the first team that we are actually a dead split on, myself and Zach are on the over, Alex and Stefano on the under. Detroit Pistons, 25.5 wins. For me, on the over, I'll keep it very quick. As bad as the Pistons are, I think this line should be like 28, 29.5. I just think there's too much individual talent on this roster. with Isaiah Stewart now stepping in the starting lineup, Jeremy Grant, Cade Cunningham. Like, they have a plethora of guys that, like, they're not going to put together a winning team or be a contender or anything close, but they're going to win more than 25 games. That's the way I look at it. Zach, I know you're the other one on the over. What are you – what's your quick spiel before we head to Alex?
Yeah, I mean, this is just it's really close for me. This is another one I wouldn't bet, but I just think there's enough talent on this team to get you 27 or 28 wins, even in a tougher East. Like, I think Killian Hayes is going to come back healthy this year and surprise a lot of people, because I think a lot of people wrote him off, as they do, like – foreign guards who are young that come over, play for a team that's not on TV a lot, and he was hurt. Obviously, everybody knows about Cade Cunningham. Sadiq Bey was fantastic last year. Beef Stew stepping in at the center position, and he's going to have an awesome year. And we saw Jeremy Grant kind of break out, and bringing in Kelly Olynyk, still have Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo. To your point, Joe, there's too much talent on this team for me to confidently take the under. But again, it's one I would not put on my own bet slip.
Beef Stew, the amount of rebounding props
that
I put on him in the last like 3 weeks of the regular season was unhealthy. If you're looking at player futures right now, let me see. Rebounds leaders, Isaiah Stewart right now. Holy cow, is he not even listed?
Yeah, I bet he's not even listed. But that's actually an interesting bet. I didn't think about that.
How are you taking the under? Steph, how are you taking the under when they have the GOAT Luka Garza?
I agree.
I don't understand it.
I don't think they want to win. Like they might, like they might start they off shouldn't. The year. Yeah, they might start off the year like okay, right? Like on pace to beat this line. And we saw this last year. Then second half of the season, they might win like three games. So I'm not confident this team is going to be competitive enough for long enough of the season. So that's why I'm on the under. Because they're doing it right, by the way. Like I'm not against what the that doesn't. I actually like what the Pistons are doing. Don't tell Kyle Murray that, because I like to tease him about that. But like, if they continue this trajectory, like they're going to be a good team in the East in like 3 years. And like again, if they get another top five pick this year, which I think they're going to get, they're starting to accumulate some young talent. I think they're on the right path. Like they blew it up last year, right? Which is what they were supposed to do. They view this. Blake Griffin actually, like in one of JJ Redick's podcasts, said that like the Pistons front office told him this is going to be a multi-year rebuild, right? So when that happens, when someone says that to me, that signifies like what happened to the Thunder, right? What's going on with the Thunder, right? They do not want to win. They don't want to be competitive. So that's why I'm on the under.
Fair. Alex, anything else, Ted?
Agree with that, and also think if they sell Jeremy Grant, which they probably should, and especially if they're not trying to win, then this line would drop 3 to 5 wins.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good point, and I just want to say, Joe, before we moved on, if anybody's listening this far into the podcast, I feel comfortable telling them this. If you're doing best ball on underdog, target the Pistons because they have more playoff games or games during the playoff weeks in the best ball tournaments than any other team outside of Houston. So you can stack up Cade Cunningham's, Killian Hayes, Beef Stew. Isaiah Stewart's one of my highest owned players in underdog best ball right now. So just wanted to throw that in there for the loyal listeners who are here a half hour in.
I agree. So we have two teams coming up that we are both unanimous on. Golden State, 47.5. This rivals Denver. With just the disrespect, like Clay is coming back midway through the season. Even if he wasn't coming back, I'm confident in this over. The one first hot button topic is now Andrew Wiggins. I don't think his vaccination status is going to move a needle for me, because I don't think Andrew Wiggins has ever moved a needle for me. But that just opens up an avenue for Jordan Poole to get more playing time, who I think is a better asset than Andrew Wiggins is. So before I move on, I'm trying to hit these unanimous ones quick. Does anyone have anything they want to add for Golden State?
I think Klay Thompson is going to come back quicker than people think.
When's he expected to come back right now?
It was pre Christmas, and now they're saying kind of like right after Christmas. So it's gone back. It's been like kind of negative news. I know Zach was a little worried about his best ball shares of Klay, but I think they're just being uber cautious. I think he's actually going to come back when they predicted him to come back. Listen, I think people forget how good Klay Thompson is. I expect him to make a full recovery, even if he comes back after Christmas. This team is good enough to kind of tread water to be around 500 or a little over 500. And even if Klay Thompson isn't playing like 35 minutes right off the bat, Those 20 to 25 minutes in the first couple of weeks is enough for them to be a better team than once he's in that 30-minute kind of threshold. They're really good. They were a dynasty with Steph Curry.
They want to ship without Kevin Durant.
People forget that. I get that they're older, but like Steph Curry is honestly a better player than he was at that time. Like he's
100%.
Yeah. So like this team is absolutely loaded, and Andrew Wiggins. Yeah,
Before we move on quick, this might seem like a counterintuitive point, but James Wiseman just reported that he is without a timetable for return. I actually think that's a bit of a benefit for the over because it will force him to play Draymond at the five a little more, which I think they play their best basketball when Draymond's at the five with the system they have.
Mm-hmm. They're also rumored for like every single potential splash acquisition around the league. Chances are they're going to make some move, and that could be Wiseman. It could be Wiggins. And honestly, if you get Wiggins out of town, for me, I don't even care what you get back. Your win totals should go up.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, I transparently, I think the Warriors would be perfect for Ben Simmons. I think that would be.
And Andrew Wiggins would be perfect for the Sixers.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That is my actual worst nightmare.
You'd be a fan of a different team at that point. So moving on quick, Houston Rockets, 27.5 wins. This is a unanimous under, and I don't know if I feel confident I can speak for all of us when I say, like, echoing Steph's sentiment about the Pistons, this team doesn't want to win. Mm-hmm. Like, this team is in absolute tank mode right now. You know, John Wall, I don't think any team is going to, like, give up assets to take that contract on. He's probably going to get bought out. I just like if you're selling a player like that, like I think you're actively losing.
Can we just let Zach talk about Rockets in best ball for 20 seconds and move on? Because what he said about the Pistons, yes,
because they're all just insane values right now. Still, Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. are still good values.
Yeah, and you can get a guy like Alperen Sengun usually in the last round, and this is a guy who if they're tanking, I think he's going to get minutes at the end of the year. So I don't hate picking up Sengun in the 15th or 16th round and completely agree, obviously, on those two young guards. They're already tanking. John Wall is probably their best player still, and they're not going to play him. So I think this is a maybe the clearest under out of the 30.
I have two units on under 27.5. By the way, this and the Nets lines are my two favorites, and then the Nuggets are right after that. That's kind of how I rank them. This should be like 22.5. I'm not confident they actually win over 20 games.
Yeah, that's fair. So moving on, we have the Indiana Pacers 42.5 wins. Alex and Zach, you guys are, or Alex, actually, you're the only one on the over. Myself, Zach, and Stefan are on the under. So make your case for the over here, because for me, this is just one of those Eastern Conference teams that's going to suffer when the rest are getting better.
So I would say that I agree that their title chances and stuff go way down, but this is just the kind of team that they're so scrappy. They just play hard night in and night out. They're the kind of team that's just going to get wins in the regular season. They're going to take care of the bad opponents that they face, and they will compete with some stronger opponents and win some tough games that way. So I just think this line is a little bit too low, but I do agree that they are being passed by a couple teams in terms of just the overall class. In the
I East. Ask Alex a question. Does Rick Carlisle have anything to do with that too?
No. I mean, I don't necessarily consider that a negative, but I wouldn't call it a positive either.
Fair. I mean, Rick Carlisle, and I love Rick Carlisle, but he's just proved, you know, you win a ring and you're untouchable as an NBA coach. Budenholzer's going to be the coach of the Bucks for the next two decades. So moving on, Los Angeles Lakers, 52.5. All four of us are on the over. Does anyone have any input on this one? I mean, this is like the meme team, the AARP team, whatever you want to call them. Regardless, like even if some of these guys get hurt at some point in the season, 52.5 just seems too low.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet this line, by the way. I think there's a chance it goes wrong, as crazy as that sounds. But I do think if this line was like 55.5, I'd probably say under just to be different to spark the conversation. But I think 52 is a little too high. I don't love this Lakers team, though. That's the hill I'll die on. I think there's a chance for it to go wrong. Like they don't have besides Wayne Ellington. And like KCP meant a lot to that team. Like, it's crazy that I'm saying KCP meant a lot, but
he did.
He was really important for that team. Wayne Ellington's like a legit bad, like is a really like big downgrade. I'll be polite here compared to KCP.
I'm interested to get to the next LA team, the Clippers, 45.5. So it's already a bit of a lower total than we're used to seeing from the Clippers. Myself, Alex, and Zach are on the Stefan are on the under. Zach, you're on the over. Is your over your sheer confidence in Paul George?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Paul George is going to be an MVP candidate this year. Obviously, like 2.5 years removed now from OKC, but he was alongside Russell Westbrook that year.
And he was
He finished third. Yeah. I mean, and again, this is the guy who I think I have him ranked 7th in my best ball rankings, which I promise, Steph, I'm going to get done by the end of this week. but I mean, acquiring a guy, we talked, I think, 2 weeks ago about Eric Bledsoe. We love to hate on the guy, and it's been warranted in the past, but this is he's in a different role now. And I think he can contribute a little bit more on the offensive end on this team compared to last year with the Pelicans. And certainly when we saw him with the Bucks, you know, Reggie Jackson, if he's anywhere close to what the heck he did in the playoffs last year, like that's a huge asset for this team, bringing him back. I think Terrence Mann takes a step up. You know, I'm interested to see what happens with Serge Ibaka, because obviously his back has just killed his entire availability last season. They picked up Justice Winslow, still got Luke Kennard there. I just think this team is not going to smash that over, but I would be surprised to see them end up under. I just think there's too much offensive talent there.
All right. Alex, as we were in the middle of the conversation, you changed tunes and you're taking the over now. Did Zach convince you?
Well, sort of. The other thing is I decided, you know what, I want to bet on Ty Lue. I believe in him as a coach and
fair.
just want to bet there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fair. I like Ty Lue quite a bit.
I think he's one of the more underappreciated coaches. They were just so good. They were just so good.
I agree.
You the like Ty Lue? Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. The boldness to, like, I just recall basically everyone predicting certain things for certain matchups, and he would do the opposite. He wasn't afraid to be contrarian, and they kept working. And so, you know, I think he earned our trust, and I think that type of creativity is what you need when you're down Kawhi.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, speaking of being down Kawhi, his best ball ADP is still late fourth, early fifth round, while Paul George's middle of the second round is too cheap. Both Reggie Jackson and Eric Bledsoe are what you can get them as your fifth or sixth guard. Marcus Morris is like 13th, 14th, 15th round flyer right now. This guy's going to take 15 shots a game without Kawhi Leonard. I have zero Kawhi Leonard right now. I assume you guys do too. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I feel like he's going to miss most of the season.
No, it's getting sharper though. That ADP is drastically falling. Yeah, I had him fall. I saw him get like in the past like three. I did three fast drafts today. He went like 110, 120, like in like
wow. 130. I've never seen him drop past like 70.
No, it's getting sharper.
Okay.
So the fun days of a second to fifth round Kawhi Leonard being drafted, I think, are unfortunately over.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some FTN subscribers fell victim to that too. But that's okay. Moving over to the Grizzlies, 41.5. All three of us are on the over. Steph, you're on the under for 41.5. Was the loss of Grayson Allen just that big for you or what?
Yeah, honestly, it's Jonas. I think he's a really good piece. I understand getting Jared Jackson Jr. back, but like when this team like struggled to score, they would play him. They would feed Jonas, and he would kind of get them back in this game. I believe in John Morant's talent. I don't think this team's like that good. This isn't a line I would bet on because I think it's fair. It might be like. You could argue it's low. I understand. Like the argument is like, okay, John Morant is a budding superstar. This is a young team that seems to keep getting better and better. But like as a team, and I don't think John Morant is at the level of someone like Luka Doncic, where I was making this point, where Luka Doncic could carry a team to 50 plus wins. I don't think John's at that point yet. And as a team, like the top of the Western Conference also got better. Like, you know, the Western Conference as a whole is weaker, but like the playoff teams are better in my opinion, and I just don't see how this team is. I also think the Kings are better as a team. As just like, not that the Kings are going to make the playoffs, but like I view like the Grizzlies and the Kings kind of in a similar boat where they're going to be fighting for a
play-in,
you know, a play-in spot. Yeah, why is this team like that good? I guess like they're not that good because 41.5 isn't a great line, but like I don't see how this team is going to be like a 45, 46 win team. I get they only need to be 42 to cover, but like I don't love this team. I actually think the trade they made with the Pelicans signifies that maybe this is a team that might want to lose this year, and you know, get a couple picks, and you know, get a couple more real playmakers to play alongside John Morant.
I think they have two of the most underrated players in basketball in Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson. I think those two, they're just gritty, hard-nosed basketball players for 48 minutes that can score. I mean, Dylan Brooks more so than Kyle Anderson in terms of scoring the ball. But we saw that stretch. It was in the playoff, like right before the playoffs. Dylan Brooks was getting like 28 a game for like a week straight or something like that. It's going nuts. Not the most efficient basketball, but he shoots enough where it goes in. Moving on to the next team. This is another split, complete split. Miami Heat 48.5. Myself and Zach on the under. Alex and Stefan on the over. Alex, what do you like about the over here?
Nobody wants to play this team, especially in the regular season. This is a defensive juggernaut. Lowry, Butler, Tucker, Adebayo. That is as good as it gets defensively. They're a nightmare to play in the regular season. So this was actually a fairly easy bet for me.
Zach, what do you like about the under?
I think this team is one injury away from crashing and burning. I think this team is going to struggle to score, especially if they were to lose Duncan Robinson. I think he's maybe the most important offensive piece for them right now, because outside of him, they cannot spread the floor at all. Tyler Hero, I think, is going to have a bit of a bounce back year. I think his sophomore year was a little bit down, because I think the expectations for him were kind of buoyed by that bubble playoff performance that he put on. And again, I don't think this team is super deep. Like outside of Hero, like you're looking at Dwayne Dedman, like I think we like him as a maybe more of like a 2.5, right? Or a third string guy at this point in his career. You know, they have a Morris brother. And I think it's the worst of the two, even though I dislike Marcus more than Markieff. Casey Akpala, Max Strus, these guys don't move the needle for me. I think this team is, unless they stay completely healthy all year, it is set up to hit the under.
Yeah.
Don't you think they're buyers though?
Yeah.
Pat Riley's
like, if they got an injury, can't they replace and add depth?
I think they are buyers.
They don't have a ton to give up.
I think they have a lot of assets that they can move with not having like Precious anymore. Kendrick Nunn would have been one of those, unless they're willing to part with Tyler Hero, whose price is now probably half of what it was a year ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think losing both Kendrick Nunn and Goran is going to hurt them, because Kyle Lowry at this point in his career, he's going to miss some games. But I think this is a line. I'm on the under, but I'm not comfortable betting it, because if they have success anywhere, I have more trust in their regular season success than their postseason success.
If they buy somebody at the deadline, I think that's going to affect their playoff chances more than it, just boosting them at the end of the season to come over this win total. I certainly don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. I mean, they have too much talent for that. I just see them as a slight under.
You don't like Max Strus? Max Strus, this is it. You know,
I love him in summer league.
Dude doesn't miss. He's a bucket. But Max Strus, probably the third best player on this team.
Yeah, give me Gabe Vincent over Max Strus.
Yeah, fair. Next line. This was a unanimous over that just made me so happy. The Bucks 54.5 wins. I also think, you know, okay, I'm here we go, Steph. I mean this from the most unbiased perspective I can. I just think this is way too low. We've seen how they perform the regular season with Mike Budenholzer. Like, you can believe they're not going to win the championship. I don't care. But 54.5 is disrespectful for the reigning champion who returned most of their team and has a coach that has shown just dominance in the regular season, not just with the Bucks, but with the Hawks as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's too low.
It's way too low. I think it should be closer to at least 56 and a half.
I think they're a 61 team. They're always a 61 team.
Yeah, last year was the first year they didn't win 60 games in 2 years. Minnesota, 35 and a half, all four of us on the under. This team is just like a steaming pile of crap, in my opinion, and they're just wasting cat. I don't know why they did what they did this offseason. I mean, I get that they gave up on the Jarrett Culver experiment. I think he was too young to give up that early, but that's just me. This team doesn't have a winning culture. They don't have winning pieces. They're just not going to work.
I think they're a potential Ben Simmons suitor, though. And if they get Ben Simmons, this is a line that I think gets a little interesting. That's all I'll say.
I would still bet the under. I probably wouldn't bet it, but I would still lean the under, I think.
With what they'd have to give up to get him. I mean, I just – 35 and a half is like four too high for me.
What do you think they'd have to give up, though? I think they might just have to give up D'Angelo Russell and like a pick. Like, I don't think Ben Simmons' stock is like that high. I don't think
Ben Simmons' stock might be high, but the problem is – What I'm saying is that when a team is realistic, like his individual stock is higher than what a team is going to have to give up to get him because Sixers have zero leverage right now.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, if the T-Wolves were like D'Angelo Russell and like three picks, do the Sixers say no?
I think they do it.
I mean, they get a guard who they need. I mean, like. I think this is a logistic. This is a realistic team that Ben Simmons can get traded to. I'm going to let Alex claim his Ben Simmons love later. But Ben Simmons is a legit NBA player, even though people think he stinks. If you bring Ben Simmons, Anthony Edwards, and Kat, that is better than D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and Kat. And Ben Simmons can actually play with those players pretty well. Like, that's actually a really interesting fit. I took the under, right? So don't get me wrong. But like, yeah. if it would be a line I wouldn't bet because I think there is a legit chance that Ben Simmons could end up on this team and they could surprise some people.
Yeah. Malik Beasley coming back too. He played really well with the Timberwolves. They're a black hole, so it's really hard to like focus on how well he played because he has all the opportunity in the world. But
his team is going to give up 125 points a game.
Correct.
What if they get Ben Simmons?
Yeah, 120.
118.
Then, no, the 118 because they'll run at an even more astronomical pace with Ben Simmons on the team. Next team is one that, Steph, you are the only one on the over for the Pelicans, 39.5. I think the Pelicans have a potential future strictly because of Zion, but the West getting healthy just worries me too much. It's as simple as that. What do you like about the over here? Is this when you're confident betting in the over?
Yeah, actually, I would. 39.5 is legit. I don't have any action on this, but like if someone was like, this would be one of those like borderline ones where like I would actually feel comfortable taking the over. It's not one I would just like stay away from. But like, I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm the only one that has the under on the Grizzlies and the only one that has the over on the Pelicans. I don't think you could have the over on both.
No, you can't have on both. One.
I think the Pelicans are better than the Grizzlies. I really like. I've been a Brandon Ingram stan for probably too long, but I think he is continuing to become one of the better players in the NBA. He is close. Like when he wants to be, he can be unguardable. Zion is the same way. I believe in Willie Green. I think Willie Green has enough. Like he's like one of those like assistant coaches that like we always knew he was going to become an NBA coach, right? And I think he's going to be a successful NBA coach based off his experience. I really like this team. I think this is a potential playoff team that could sneak in the West as like an 8 seed. They are young. They have a shitload of talent. What is Zion's ceiling this year, right? Can Zion be a top 10 NBA player this year? That's a legit question.
I think a legit question, like true ceiling, I think Zion could be a top
like
five.
This season though, right? So like we realistically think Zion could be top 10, right? If we think he could be a top 10 player this year, I think Brandon Ingram could be a top 30 player this year. You're starting to kind of like, yeah, become a good team, a relevant team, right? I think Jonas is a legit play. He's not going to play like 36 minutes. He'll play like 26 to 28 minutes. Maybe actually less. They go play like 24 to 28 minutes, right? He's not going to be a net negative, in my opinion. I don't hate Devontae Graham. Like, I think he's totally fine. I still believe in Na. I think Na is, like, actually, like, has a future in this league. Like, I think this team has legitimate talent. I think they are more talented than the Grizzlies. This might be a hot take, but I think they are significantly more talented than the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got distracted. Giannis had some media day pictures come out of his new free throw form. Watch out. That elbow's in. He closed the elbow. But yeah, I mean, I get it. I just think a lot has to go very right for Zion to be a top five player this year. For
why are the Grizzlies better than the Pelicans? That's actually my question. I see Zach like frowning at me, but like, why are the Grizzlies better than the Pelicans?
I think they're a lot deeper. I think the Pelicans have one of the worst backcourts in the league. It does not make sense to put Jonas Valanciunas out there for more than 18 to 20 minutes a game because Zion needs to be the center. You can't play Zion on the perimeter with Jonas down on the block. It's not like Jonas is some athletic dude that you can put like in the short corner.
No, but he can spot up and shoot a little bit.
Yeah, but that's not going to get you to the over here. Like this.
Well, like, I'm not saying, but like, I mean, first of all, I think they're deeper. I think they're deeper than the Grizzlies in my opinion.
Like, yeah, why? I just disagree. Like you, Desmond Bane, Xavier Tillman, all those guys, Tyus Jones. Like I love those guys, and I'm a believer in Kira Lewis. I love Josh Hart, but Jackson Hayes. Do we even know what's going on with him with his legal situation?
Like, it's been radio silent.
What about Tomas Satoransky is legit NBA player who's like totally fine. It's like a backup point guard. Nikhil Alexander,
but he's not supposed to move over.
Yeah, but like they're better than like so now there's Tyus Jones. Like I actually liked what I saw out of Najee Marshall last year. Like I think he has a role as a other NBA bench player.
But you're talking about all these guys who are just coming from losing teams. Like Najee Marshall was okay for the team that was 10 games under 500 last year. Satoransky has been a third string player very recently on some bad, bad, bad team.
So it's like, Tyus Jones. I'm comparing this team to the Grizzlies, right?
Right. No, I agree. But I also think if we touch on like Zion, like I agree with the ceiling, but what's his floor? His floor is washing out of the league in like 3 years because he can't stay healthy. He broke his foot this summer. This dude has been hurt more than he's been healthy since he got to college. Like if I recall correctly, like I'm worried about Zion, man. I love Zion. I love watching him. I think he's an immense talent. But we talked about this with Porzingis, I think it was last week. Guys that are that big with lower body injuries, especially multiple that happen kind of back to back to back, it usually doesn't get better as they get older. I'm just worried about this team being able to kind of build around Zion going forward.
I think that's the counterpoint to me. I agree with that take. I think that is a legit concern. One person I also want to bring up who I actually really like, I think we talked about this for the draft episode, but Trey Murphy III, I think, is a perfect fit for this team. He was like, I think he shot like 40%+ from three. He's a versatile defender who can guard multiple positions, who I think is going to play significant minutes for this team that fits with both Zion and Brandon Ingram. So I'm high on this team. I'm buying Zion staying healthy. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, if he plays 75 games, I think that I'm leaning more towards you can sell me more on getting to the over here.
Fair, very fair. Next team, another split. New York Knicks 41.5. Myself and Zach in the over. Alex on the under, and Stefano says way under. So I'll give like five. This isn't even like a long explanation for me. I'm not like a massive Knicks fan. I don't like the contracts together, what they did in the offseason. But these individual pieces, combined with the fact that they were 10 games over 500 in a 72-game season, they don't have to do much to win 42 games. Like 42-40, in my opinion, would be a disappointing season for this team. And that's what they need for the over. This, to me, feels like a smash over. That's not me saying they're going to win 50 games, but like this, to me, is like a 44-38 team pretty confidently.
Before we flip it over to these under losers here, this team was 10 games over 500 last year. Tibbs is a fantastic regular season coach. Look at their top 10. They get Mitchell Robinson back. This team got so much better. Adding Evan Fournier, getting Mitch Robinson back, adding Kemba Walker. I mean, if he stays healthy, that's a huge boon to this team. And then you've got Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley if Kemba has to, you know, take two, three, 4 weeks off with his knee issues. This top 10, Kemba, Fournier, RJ Barrett, who was great last year, Julius Randle, Mitch Robinson, then Derrick Rose, Quickly, Burks, Obi Toppin, Nerlens Noel. Like, that's a very solid 10 players. This team is going to be better than 500. I don't think they're going to be a four seed, not even close. But to say that this team is going to reverse course by like 12 or 13 games, I think that's just too much for me.
Yeah. Alex, what do you think?
So I would say I don't necessarily think they got worse. I do love the addition of Kemba. I do think that's pretty significant, but I hate the addition of Fournier. I'm of the opinion that adding Fournier is a net negative for your team. And on top of that, if you're not getting significantly better in the East, you're losing ground because the East got a lot better. So I just think that this Knicks team is the biggest casualty to the East getting stronger as a whole.
Steph, you're on the way under.
I believe what Alex said. It's literally what Alex said. So I think Evan Fournier is a net negative. I don't think Kemba Walker is that big of a positive, actually. I think the East got stronger. I think the biggest counter argument to that, to taking the under, is that what Zach said is that Thibs is a very good regular season coach, and historically he's kind of grinded his teams out to regular season wins around 500. But I don't think this team's good. Like, I really don't. Like, I think Julius Randle is good. There is a lot of ways for this to go really poorly, and I don't think there's a lot of ways for this to go really well for the Knicks, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I think.
Well, I also think they. They also, I think you can pretty easily argue that they overperformed last year. Yes. So even if they were returning the exact same team, like, the quality of team is probably not going to be as high as it was last year. And particularly Julius Randle is probably not going to shoot such a high percentage. He's probably not going to be that dominant down the stretch that he was. So I think, like, if all else equal, we should expect them to be significantly worse. Then you add in the fact that the East got a lot better, and I just think they've got too much ground to make up.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I just think this line is priced to the fact where, like, they're expected to get a lot worse, where they could win 43 games and still get, like, they would still be way worse than last year. So I do think there's a lot of value here. Moving on, let's double check. Oklahoma City Thunder, 23.5 wins. Myself, Zach, and Alex were on the over. I think this team, I think they'll be over by a game or two. Stefano on the under, and I already know that. Like, this, I assume this just aligns that they don't want to win.
They don't want to win. I'm like shocked that you guys are all over on the over. I think they're getting better, and I think they're doing the right thing, similar to what I said about the Pistons, similar to what we were kind of talking about with the Rockets. This is a multi-year rebuild. 23.5 is low. It's not a number I'm going to bet, by the way, because I could see them winning 24, 25 games. But I think there's a greater chance that they win, like, 20 games. Like, this is just not good. Like, last year, what they did, like, they just stopped playing even their good young guys last year. Like, they were really tanking last year.
SGA was 100% healthy to come back. Like, there's no way.
They were alternating games with Darius Bazley and Lou Dort, and seeing like what they had if one of them could, like, be, like, you know, an actual.
Lou Dort was shooting 40 times a game.
I also think they're going to trade Lou Dort. We talked about this in one of the pods, where actually, if I were them, I would trade him because they're going to have to pay him soon. And I think he is a legit asset.
He would be phenomenal on a contender. Phenomenal. Yeah. He's an elite 3-and-D player. I just, like, my whole thing, like, I agree with you. They're trying to lose. I just think 23.5 is too low. This is, again, not a line I'm betting either. But I think this should be priced a little more closely with, like, the Rockets, like 26, 27.5, or the Pistons at 25.5. I just think 23.5 is a little too low. Speaking of low, go ahead, Zach.
Just for reference, I mean, you got to go back to the 18-19 season to find, obviously, a full 82. Only four teams under 24 wins in that season. You go back to 17-18, only two teams. So I just think this team sneaks to that 24, 25, 26 win range because they do have, like, a lot of these young guys are talented. You talked about Shea, Dort, Bazley. I mean, Roby, I think, is going to take a step this year with Moses Brown out of there, Al Horford out of there. You know, my guy Poku, like, I love him. I think he's going to be fucking awesome to watch. Josh Giddey should be up with the big league team, right? Like, they don't have any reason to send him down to the G League. So I think it's tough to see this team being far under the 23.5. This is obviously not a line I would touch.
Yep. Fair. I agree with that.
We're talking about low. We just Orlando Magic are at 22.5, and we all took the under. This team's just bad. But they sold everything. We're talking about multi-year rebuilds. They're entering the first year of their multi-year rebuild, which is when they're going to win the least amount of games.
Or are they in the ninth year of their rebuild?
Okay. So no, this is the first year. So John Hammond, their GM, has historically been a GM. He's a GM of the Bucks for close to a decade, and would just refuse to tank. He would be totally fine sitting in like NBA purgatory where you win 40 games, sneaking the eight seed, get swept by the Heat, and go home. Every year, it was just clockwork. He's finally understanding that gets you absolutely nowhere. It does not drive revenue, does not bring players anywhere, nothing. So this team's bad. They had Chuma Okeke as their primary ball handler towards the end of the season last year. I mean, come on. Like, I just don't see an over here in any scenario. But I'm not going to bet on it. I'm not betting the Orlando Magic.
Joe, are you on DraftKings Sportsbook right now? Are they the favorite to be the worst team in the NBA? I'm assuming they are, but just want to see.
They have the lowest win total, I think they have to. Team Futures, they don't have the special.
They're not up yet. Yeah, okay.
No. So I'm going to kick this to Alex. Philadelphia 76ers at 50.5. I think it's fair to say it's incredibly hard to confidently make a prediction until we know what shakes out with Ben Simmons. But as the resident Sixers fan, what are your thoughts right now? A win total and just what's going on?
So I'll start with the win total. I have the under marked down. And the reason for that is I just don't see a scenario in which they're the same team as they were last year from the get-go, and that's because even if Simmons does come back and play, that's still like there's going to be a lengthy period of time where they are still navigating all this chaos and the chemistry issues, and maybe they could get back to a point where they're just playing basketball again, but that would take time. I think more likely they're either dealing Simmons and they're getting used to a new roster, even if they happen to get good value back for him, or they're playing without Simmons, nothing else happens, and they're just significantly worse. So I feel pretty confident about the under at 50.5, especially because, again, like the East is getting a lot better. At worst, or at best, the Sixers haven't gotten worse as a team, in which case we should still expect them to go down just because the East got better. As far as what my thoughts are about Simmons, I think you guys all know at this point, I'm one of the few Simmons backers. I don't agree with how he's handling this, but I do think his gripes are all justified. Like if I were Simmons, I would say, yeah, like I got pretty much screwed over. I got thrown under the bus. The media is just dead wrong about me. They don't understand like what I bring to a team in terms of my value. But rather than sulk about that and choose not to play for this city, I would want to come back, win, and see clearly, or and show them like, clearly, I'm bringing value. Otherwise, we wouldn't have just won this championship. So as for what my argument is for Simmons being still a great player, the first thing is, like, it's so easy to say he hasn't gotten better in terms of his shot, but who cares? That's not what he does. That's like blaming an immobile quarterback for not getting faster. Like, that's not what he brings to the table. It never has been. And early in his career, it was fair to say this guy should develop a jump shot so that defenders can't just sag off of him and get away with that. Instead of developing a jumper to take that away, he just learned how to take advantage of the space they gave to become a better facilitator. That's still a very good improvement to make. And his value as a facilitator shows up in the numbers in spades. Like, it's one thing to just look at the splits of their three-point shooting on the floor, or with him on the floor versus off, but that can be a little bit confusing because you could say like, okay, well, he shares the floor with Seth Curry, so maybe that's the thing. But even if you look individually, every single Sixer shooter shot the ball significantly better with Simmons on the floor than off. That's not a coincidence. That speaks volumes to who Simmons is as a facilitator, the way he pushes the pace, and the way he finds the best shot repeatedly. And then as far as like the playoffs go, his free throw shooting was an issue, and the fact that he wouldn't shoot at all was an issue. And we had the obvious play where he passed up a layup or a dunk and passed it to Thybulle. And that's glaring to the eyes. And so people ran with that. But he was the exact same player while they were building those 25-point leads. as he was when they were blowing the 25-point leads. His play is not what changed. So if you're going to find something to blame, you've got to find something to blame that changed from the time they were up 25 to losing that lead. And it wasn't Simmons' play. It was defensive rotations. It was leaving the second unit out too long without any of the main guys. It was Tobias Harris completely disappearing or just making nothing. And it was a complete change in the way they approached the pick and roll with Trae Young, and they just got killed with it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It was also Dwight Howard playing too much in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the second unit rotations were a disaster. And the thing is, we knew they were a disaster early on, and then you stuck with it, and I think it was game four when they had a 25-point lead, and it went down to 13. They called a timeout, and the second unit started after the timeout. It's like, what the hell is going on? And 13 became six in like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just don't think Ben Simmons fits on the Sixers anymore. And I think a lot of that is more like the lack of chemistry, just mm-hmm. the mental toll it's taken now. It just wouldn't work anymore. But I was adamant about it all throughout the playoffs. I think their biggest glaring inability was Doc Rivers. I've never been a Doc Rivers believer ever. He's been living on that 2009 championship at the Celtics for 12 years now. He's been perpetually one of the worst playoff coaches, but he's blown so many series and game leads in the playoffs. Does anyone have any more insights on the Sixers before we move on and spare some of Alex's mental health?
I think the over, because I think Joel Embiid is that dominant of a player.
How many games do you think Joel Embiid will play next year? I think he's relatively healthy.
Like
the thing is, he plays say 65 games next year. You think in those 65 games they win enough to get 51 total wins?
If they trade Ben Simmons, they're going to get someone for him. They're not going to get nothing, right?
I agree.
So, like, they'll get something. If they don't trade Ben Simmons and he just, like, doesn't play, then they'll take the under. But I think, like, if they end up dealing him and they get a piece that's not named Andrew Wiggins, this is not a line I would touch, by the way. I'm not even trying to make a trade. I think 50.5 for a team that has a dominant center. And again, I'm not a guy who, like, I believe the NBA is positionless now. And I think centers are actually kind of the running backs of NBA, right? Where like you can interchange them. You don't need to really like spend huge amounts of money, especially if your wing play is good. Embiid's one of those exceptions, I think, where if they're just building around Embiid, like there are a lot of teams in the East that they're going to play that just won't be able to stop him whatsoever. And there are going to be a lot of easy wins in my eyes. So I think 50.5, like I would project them internally at like 52 or like 51 wins. So like I'm going the over by nothing. So it's like not a line I would bet, but that's how I feel. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Moving on to the next team, another split. We'll keep this one quick though. Phoenix Suns, 50.5, the Western Conference champions. Alex and Steph, you guys are on the under. Myself and Zach on the over. This is another team that's just built for the regular season. They have a lot of depth. I fully expect them to run more through DeAndre Ayton after seeing what they did in the postseason with him. I thought they were, I've mentioned this on multiple pods before. I thought they were, as soon as Chris Paul was brought in, I thought they were just going to run their offense through the pick and roll. They didn't really do that until the playoffs when DeAndre Ayton was shooting 80% from the field per game. Again, not that he's going to lead you to 51 wins, but that will then open up shots for Mikal Bridges, Devin Booker, Jay Crowder. It'll just take pressure off the rest of the team. I just think this team has too much talent, and their bench is a lot better than people give them credit for in the regular season, where 51 wins is not an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think they had 51 wins last year. I think at worst, they kind of stayed the same. You add Landry Shamet, add JaVale McGee, Elfrid Payton. So kind of, end of the bench guys, obviously Shamet being the most important of the three. If they get anything out of Jalen Smith in his sophomore season, that's just a bonus. I see this team coming in probably 52, 53 wins this year. So which would be a step back adding the 10 games, but I still think this is a 50-plus win team.
This is a line I'm staying away from, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch this line. The only counterpoint, the reason why I'm on the under, is they're in a division with the Lakers and the Warriors, who are two teams that I think are going to be a lot better this year than they were last year.
Very fair. I think
we can say, I'm using some Alex terminology here, but I'd say they overperformed last year. I think there's a chance they regress a little bit this year, especially with those two teams becoming better.
Fair. Now, next team, Portland, 44.5 wins. We're all on the under. I'll keep my spiel quick, then I'm going to pass to Alex. I just, even with Damian Lillard there, he plays the whole year there, I just don't think this team is that good, especially with the West getting better and getting healthy. Like, this team, they're just all a defensive liability, and they can't, like, they bleed production, especially in the lane, and that's just going to kill them against these contenders in the West. There is a non-zero chance, to use Zach's terminology, that Damian Lillard does not finish the season in Portland as much as he says he will. And they have two guards that over the last two or three years have shown that they have struggled with health at times too. So I think there are just way more unfavorables for this team right now than favorables, where I bet the under in this. I was confident in this being an under. Alex, what has you on the under for this?
I just don't like the way that this starting lineup is constructed. I think the double guards can work, but not if they're both bad defensively like they are. And then the other problem is there. Like, I also like Nurkic, but he's bad in the pick and roll. And so you've got two terrible guards and a bad defensive pick and roll guy. They just get eaten alive. And for me, the biggest issue is the Powell position. That guy in the starting lineup needs to be an excellent on-ball defender, so you can get the most out of Covington as an elite off-ball defender. But instead, they have to use Covington as the on-ball guy, where he's just good instead of elite, like he is off the ball. And it just kind of, everything about this lineup just kind of works against itself, in my opinion. So I think that they could make like one or two changes, and if they were the right changes, they'd go from a team that I'm very low on to a team I'm really high on. But as they are, not a fan.
Yeah, I like they brought in Larry Nance, who I think Portland will give him a lot of fantasy upside, but I don't think that does much for them from a winning standpoint. I don't know. Steph, Zach, do you guys have anything to add for Portland before we move on?
Not really. I mean, I think last year, kind of Derrick Jones Jr. not being able to take that next step to be that kind of 3-and-D guy that Alex was talking about, it just kind of hurt their outlook. They kind of had to reset, obviously, trading Trent Jr. for Powell there in the middle of the season. So, not much to add that wouldn't just be repetitive.
So you don't think Tony Snell is worth 10 wins?
I'll give him 8.
So moving on to a team that Steph kind of previewed a little bit, surprisingly, the Sacramento Kings, 36.5 wins. Three of us are on the under. Alex is the only one on the over. This is not a line I feel confident betting. This team just lives in that 34, 35, 36, 37 win range, and they just never move out of it. I think they have pieces, but Alex, sell us on the over here.
De'Aaron Fox, that's all it is. I just think De'Aaron Fox can get them to that number. I'm not high on them as a team. I just think this line is too low, because I am high on De'Aaron Fox. I think he takes a big step.
Steph, Zach, anything besides Steph's Rashawn Holmes love in best ball?
I think I'm just kind of as high as Alex is on De'Aaron Fox. I'm equally as high on Tyrese Haliburton. I think he's going to be a great pro. Obviously coming in kind of at an advanced age for a rookie last year, but I think he's just game ready. I think he's going to give them a lot. It doesn't push me to the over on this team just because, because Kings. And I actually think maybe one of the biggest negatives for this team is the coach. Like, I'm not a fan. I think he holds them back. But the one thing about this team is they are going to continue pushing for that play-in game until the end. So I think, if we're talking best ball, I think these guys are pretty safe investments that you're not going to get some sort of, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was an outlier, maybe the youngest player to ever be rested for half a season. But I think these guys are pretty safe in best ball. If Bagley comes out and has a better year and he shows improvement, maybe they do get closer to that over.
I don't think Bagley's going to end the season on the Kings. I also, if they ever give out lines on a book as to the first coach fired, I know we talked about it, just hammer the Luke Walton number.
Yeah.
The last four teams we all have unanimous, so we'll keep them brief.
No, don't skip the Spurs, Joe. Don't do it. I'm not skipping. I need to talk about them.
If people are still listening right now, I give them props. Spurs, 28.5. All four of us are on the under. This is another team that is just entering rebuild mode. We could see some movement in the backcourt in terms of somebody being traded. Zach, floor is yours.
I'm going to just put in the call here. 26 wins on the season. 26 exactly. Okay. Can any of you three tell me why?
Was that like Keldon Johnson's Team USA number or something?
Close. Another Team USA member, the coach, actually, 26 wins away from being the all-time wins leader. So that would be the perfect storm of, you know, getting into that top five probably with 26 wins in terms of the draft next year and getting that record.
This team
sucks. This team is going to be so bad.
I have a lot of Keldon and Deontay.
DeJounte. Undervalued in best ball.
Yeah. But like do you think he's aware like that they want to be bad, or do you think he's going to like coach them to try and win?
He had 20 years of being, you know, he's in the position he is now because he was one of the OG tankers. I mean, they sat David Robinson, Sean Elliott, and got Tim Duncan. So I don't think he's against it, and I don't think he's somebody that would prop up his ego, to get to 32 wins and kind of screw over the future of the franchise. I think he wants them to be in a good position even when he decides to leave.
I don't think they're as bad as like you have the Rockets.
I mean, they've like
you have the Magic. You have like. I could see them being in like that Kings range, like where they were kind of last year. Like, obviously, like they're not good. Like I'm not trying to make a like Spurs are going to make the playoffs. The
Kings. Right.
I this is a line I wouldn't touch because I almost went over. Just like if they won 31 games, like that would not surprise you whatsoever. I believe in Keldon Johnson. Like I know we kind of joke around that, you know, you're a little bit of a biased Spurs fan. Like you're the only one who's super biased towards the team that they root for of the group, unlike myself. But like, I actually really like Keldon Johnson. And there's a reason why he got selected on Team USA. I think like Pop really likes him too. And I think he could take like a really nice step here. I'm not saying Keldon Johnson's going to be a superstar in the NBA, but like they have talent. They're not like abysmal, like the Magic, right? The Magic are absolutely abysmal.
They've got a lot more spacing this year. I think Doug McDermott is going to help them a lot off the bench in terms of just their continuity on O. And with Jakob Poeltl still in the middle, I hope he plays a little bit less this year. Like I would love to see, honestly, I would love to see some Jock Landale. I know that's a relative unknown.
That's your young guy.
Boy. I mean, I love the kid's attitude. I think he's a good player. And again, you are trying to lose games this year. So having a ton of Jakob Poeltl out there and DeJounte Murray and Derek White, that's a heck of a defensive squad. And I think we need to see a lot less of that come the second half of the season.
Does Thad Young end the team and the season with the Spurs?
No, because it's going to be DeJounte Murray, Thad Young, 2022 and 2024 first-round picks for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's not a deal I dislike.
I agree.
That's one of the better ones.
I think obviously Thad Young had a great year with Chicago, would be returning to Philadelphia where he was good a number of years ago. And DeJounte Murray has already been an all-defensive player, so I don't think you're losing too much. Obviously, Ben Simmons is kind of an all-league type guy right now, but DeJounte Murray before his ACL was second team in his sophomore year.
You could also make that a three-team deal and spin Thad Young to Golden State and bring Andrew Wiggins back to Philly.
No, thank you.
I think
Young is one of the most underappreciated players in the league.
Yeah.
Chicago was 10 points better last year with him on the floor than off. And that was with him playing mostly second unit, not even with the starters. So it could have been even more severe.
Yeah. I agree. I think Derek White in the backcourt is much more likely to get moved than DeJounte, but if they're tanking,
I hope so.
I think that DeJounte is a better asset. Yeah, DeJounte is one of my favorite players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
agree.
Moving on to the Toronto Raptors, 35.5, lowest win total we've seen them in quite some time. We are all in the under. This team is they're not necessarily tanking, but they're in a very tough spot. Stefano says they stink, but Pascal Siakam's going to miss the first 4 to 6 weeks. Is Goran going to play for Toronto? Like, I think he will, but I don't know if he'll end the season with them. I just don't think – I think passing on Jalen Suggs was a mistake. I'm ultra high on Scottie Barnes, and Nick Nurse seems like he is too. But I just don't think Fred VanVleet, half a season of Pascal Siakam, maybe more, gets them close to 40 wins or even over 35.5. It's not what I'm betting, but I just don't like the over here. Stefano, what is your gripe with Toronto?
I think they're a smart front office organization and know that they have no future of winning, and I think they're going to tank. That's it.
That's fair.
Just like they did last year.
Yeah. But get your Scottie Barnes best ball shares because
he's just way too cheap.
And Nick Nurse yesterday said he's going to have a massive part. He's going to have a massive role on this team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if your head coach is saying that about their rookie with a team that does have some veterans, that also speaks volumes to what they're planning on doing this season, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you don't get Scottie, you can go get Precious Achiuwa in like the second to last round, and he's also a wing. So that's pretty good value as well.
What I was going to say is before we move on to the last two teams, I'll give Steph his 30 seconds of glamour for Precious Achiuwa. Because you mentioned in the last pod, with Siakam expected to be out, you expect Precious to move into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I expect it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kemba is still on this team, right? Yeah. I think he's still on the Raptors.
Yeah. He is.
I think Boucher will come off the bench. I don't think he's going
to
start.
Boucher is not going to start. There's no way.
Birch is probably starting already, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. He started.
I think it's going to be VanVleet, OG,
Trent,
Barnes. I think Barnes is going to start, and then
one of Malachi or Dragic.
They need a center.
I think Precious Achiuwa could start at center.
Sure.
But I think Kemba. I kind of forgot when I said that. This is a bad job. I mean, I kind of forgot that Kemba was still on the squad.
Kemba,
we were talking about.
He's a serviceable.
But Precious is going to play minutes. He's a wing. The thing on basketball, he's a wing. So like,
yeah.
if you get like 15 minutes in the at power forward or center on a team that's probably going to lose games, we'll probably get more minutes towards the end of the season when it's kind of playoff time in best ball. You're getting Precious in the second to last round as a wing. There's a ceiling there. So that's where the Precious love stems from.
Fair. Before we move on quick, if you are in the betting market early in the season, if Ken Birch starts, all of last year when he was on Toronto, his block prop came out at just 0.5 blocks in the game, and it was priced between like 115 and minus 115, like minus 140 every game. He averaged like 1.5 blocks per game last year, and it was just free money. So just be on the lookout. It's a prop no one wants to bet on Ken Birch, but it was one that made money. Moving on, Utah Jazz, 51.5, all four of us on the over. This team is one of those teams just built for the regular season. They have 60 win potential. They're just too good and too deep to win less than 51. Or 52.
They added Rudy Gay and Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, the first guy there is more important, but
much more important. At worst,
they stayed the same. And this team is built for regular season wins. They would be on top of this win total in the 72 game season last year. So that's an easy over for me.
They have no shot of winning the NBA title.
Yeah,
but they're probably going to win like 57 games. That's my take.
They're the current version of Mike Boonholzer's Hawks. That's what they are.
Yeah, it's a pretty good comparison.
Those Hawks did not have a
Donovan Mitchell.
What about Donovan Mitchell for Ben? What about Donovan Mitchell for Ben Simmons in like a pick?
And we swap. Dear Lord, if I were Philly, I would sprint to take that trade.
That was just a joke about rookie of the year, but it wasn't a very good one.
Last team, Washington Wizards, 33.5. This was very easy under for me.
Yeah.
Even without Bradley Beal's just dumb controversy now. but Alex, I'll get to you. Like, is there any, I don't want to say, is there any way this team goes over, but like, this just feels too high.
The only over I would bet for them is points per game allowed. And I don't even know what it is, but I would bet the over.
At what point would you be uncomfortable betting the over? Like 127, 128?
Yeah, it'd have to be that high because there's no reason to believe that they won't play fast and they're going to be horrendous defensively.
They're going to be god awful.
I'll tell you what, the only way that like an under would hit for that kind of bet would be if Beal is actually dealt, because he might be the worst defender in the league, especially when he doesn't care about playing defense. And why would he when they're winning 25 games?
And he just goes and scores 35 a game. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I just the thing is with all of Beal's stuff about the vaccine, if he misses half the season because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Your best offensive player.
That's not an issue, Rick. That's not an issue, though, in D.C., is it? I'm not sure. I'm just actually generally asking.
I don't know.
I thought it was, but again, don't I
think it's only NYC and San Francisco right now.
It's not L.A.?
It might be L.A., too. But like, if the Nets are able to practice in San Diego, then it's not a California state law.
Yeah, correct. Right? Correct. But I just – the thing is, if he misses time – because of the vaccine mandate, you're going to be led by Spencer Dinwiddie and Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell. Those are going to be your three best basketball players. Good luck winning 34 games. So that is 30 teams, win totals, all covered. If you made it this far, thank you. We appreciate it. All of our bets can be found on ftmbets.com. Pricing for NBA, I assume, will be released very, very shortly. But you can, or excuse me, I misquoted. You can get all sports for one price, $49.99 a month for all sports, including NFL. And you get access to Josh Gross, who I think might be the biggest hidden gem in the gambling industry ever. Like, it doesn't, there's not a sport he doesn't smash. Stefano's fine too. But all of our – I know, Stefano, you've entered a lot of win totals. I have mine on there. So is Zach. Everything, ftnbest.com for win totals. Again, early bird for the FTN Daily DFS package is on sale now. Obviously, the earlier you buy, the less you will pay, the more value you will get. So for Joe, for Zach, for Alex, for Steph, we appreciate you joining, and have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMets34, and at KowaisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.